You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's a hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. That's how it rolls out of the Dog Bowl here in Berea. Matt Wilhelms here. I'm Michael Regai as we continue on with Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford, so get your tweets ready. In just a minute, we'll do that. But as always, we love hearing from all of you. 216-578-0850. Let's check in with our guy Jay right here in the big league city of Cleveland. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
How you feeling?
All right. Yeah, I was thinking that maybe we all should maybe try to switch things up a little bit and put a new starting five out there on the offensive line and see how they can open up the gaps for our running backs.
A new starting five, Jay? I mean, what, you know, you only have usually
eight
guys.
Maybe.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that, see.
Yeah, listen, you know, Jay, this offensive line has been talked about with Dallas and with Denver as one of the top offensive lines through the first half of the season in the NFL. So, Matty, I don't think there'd be a whole lot of need or room to shake things.
No, there's not. And I think Scott Petrak, who, you know, we just had on as a guest, you can follow him at Twitter at Scott Petrak, made a great point about, you know, finally having McDonald at center, Greco back at guard. And if this is our go-to lineup, you know, there's going to be highs and lows. And, you know, we started off with a low. And I think we're still kind of overcoming the hump of Alex Mack and how great he was as a leader and a player at center. But it's finding our five, and I think we have them now, and letting them grow together. And what better time to have them, again, against the Oakland Raiders, a team we should beat, and against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, another team that we should beat. Let us take our bumps and bruises now and figure out that learning curve so that we got two Cincinnati games, another Baltimore game, we got Houston, we got Indy, you know, all AFC and some divisional games that we'd love to be in and be able to run the football against those great defenses.
I feel pretty good, Matt, after taking a look at the All-22, and I get the sense from today that the coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball, O-line coach Andy Moeller, Mike Pettine, of course, Kyle Shanahan, that they feel pretty good about where Nick McDonald was, right? Game one, came through and got a pretty solid, decent performance from him, and where he's going to be as he gets more comfortable.
You're right about that. And the one luxury that we have, you know, being here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, I actually got to talk to Nick downstairs.
Yep.
You know, I said, how do you feel? You know, how was your performance? How do you feel after your performance? And he's like, man, I feel good. I feel great. I'm getting comfortable. My wrist is good. You know, I'm not compensating for anything as well. So I feel at this point, having Greco back at his natural position at right guard and McDonald learning on the run as fast as he can. And I think the luxury that we've had with Alex Mack and the flexibility of Greco to be able to go to center for that one game, allowing McDonald to be physically 100%, and now he's all in for the remainder, has set us in a great place moving forward.
All good, Jay? I think Jay is probably listening to us at this point, but we appreciate the call very much. Let's get our man, our producer, Emmett Golden, in here. It's hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. Cleveland Browns Daily. How you doing, E?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. We got Kyle here. He hashtag mailbag. He says, why don't we try Moore as punt returner since he's our kick returner?
You know what? Nathan made this point yesterday. He actually, you know, he makes a point to go up to Marlon Moore after every game, you know, who he also talks about as one of the best gunners in all of professional football, and asked him that same very question. And he just said, you know, it's really just not my thing, you know. And I think it's a great point because your ability to catch a different football is weird, where it's an end-over-end kick, you know, coming to you very long, over 60 yards, where you have the ability to catch it. The trajectory is different, whereas a punt is very high, either a knuckleball, but it's more of a backspin, and then also, or a spiral, which is tough. And then reading your blockers, you know, you got to figure a kickoff return is a set call, you know, and you can understand where your coach would like you to run that football or what direction to start. Whereas a punt return, yes, there's a punt right, return left, and return middle, but it's always it's a mishmash of levels that guys are coming down on. A kickoff, everybody comes down in one wave, whereas punt, some guys get down earlier. You're going to get the gunners first. You're going to get everybody else second. You know, that long snapper screaming down at you too. So it's just a different read. And Marlon Moore actually just admitted that it's just not his thing.
For what it's worth, my friend, I want to let you know that that I'm in your camp with the punt return thing. You know, of course you want the guy that can hit the home run. I mean, right. Everybody does.
Yeah, you want the Antonio Brown.
Of course you do.
The Dante Halls of the world, of
but
course.
But not at the risk of ball security. Bottom line. So I'm with you. I know Jimmy Leonard is not going to, bust a seam and take it to the house.
No.
We all know that. But I will take the ball security. I'm with you anytime with regard to that. Now that Justin Gilbert's confidence is starting to pick up, I'm wondering in the kickoff return side if he's going to have or maybe now start to get into the mix. Although how many kickoff returns are really there anymore when you by percentage in the National Football League? Almost every kicker is line driving it at a pylon, right? Or if not, just blasting it over the kick returner's head and out of the back of the end zone.
If I had to guess, I would, if you're legit asking me, I'd say 15 to 20% are actually returnable.
Probably.
And also, too, in those that are being returned, those kickers are also, too, kicking it very high.
Yeah.
So that they're allowing that coverage team to get down. And even still, when they are being returned, you're still seeing guys who are taking it at 3, 4, 5 yards deep on a returnable kick. And they come out and they're still getting tackled inside the 20.
Yeah.
Because I think that is something that the NFL has been extremely happy about, eliminating those collisions and the ability to bring those kicks out more frequently. So those guys are staying in the end zone knowing, and they're being coached to stay in, as we had some early tribulations with that as well, with Travis Benjamin early in the season, bringing it out from 8 yards deep, 7 yards deep. Just because you're confident doesn't mean you're going to get out to the 20. So taking the ball at 20 and, again, securing possession and allowing your offense to start with good field position matters a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So just one, I'm in your camp. I want ball security first and foremost, and I'll take what comes from that. All the time.
I mean,
when I
too.
Know somebody's not putting it on the ground.
You just want to see your offense jogging on the field next.
Exactly, which somewhat leads us into Isaiah Crowell. Got a tweet at Michael Regei from at MT Point Guard. As I was discussing some of, we discussed a little bit, Isaiah. And look, all of us love Crow. I mean, there's no doubt that everybody sees the type of explosive back he can be, but he's a rook 8 weeks into his NFL career. MT Point Guard says one of Crow's fumbles, Hoyer toss pitch at his shins. And you still got to catch that at your shins when you're getting a toss sweep. I could see, this is an MT Point Guard, I could see not playing him late last game, but one touch the whole game, ?
Very much so. And Scott brought up another great point about, if he is in fact what we believe he is, a game-changing type of runner from the sample size we've gotten of him up thus far. And I know every time we bring up Crowell, Nathan throws out the stat. He's got more 15-yard runs than anybody on the Browns roster, and he's leading the NFL in this. And if he's all those things, you've got to get him in the game. You got to get him in the earlier in the game, build his confidence, build that, and I think ball security comes with confidence as well. His ability to get in the game and hold it tight to his chest and make those runs within this scheme, allow him to do so that when his name is called upon in the crunch in fourth quarter when you need those tough yards, he's playing within himself and fumbling the football is not a problem anymore. So I would have loved to see him, built into that game plan a little bit sooner. I would have loved to see him first off the bench after Tate as opposed to West, because ball security at that point with the game so early was not in question.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what I tweeted back to MT Point Guard, just that. I do believe you're going to see Isaiah Crowell get back to more that in that 8 to 10 to 11 area as far as carrying the football.
Right, and I agree. And again, against the 29th ranked defense in the league right now, you love to see it because, again, diving into just a little bit of last week's Minnesota-Tampa Bay game as well, there's some chunk runs out there against this defense, and there's no better player on this football team that I like to have chunk runs because there's a hop opportunity for a home run than Isaiah Crowell.
Yep. Emmett, got anything else? Hashtag Mailbag Wednesday.
Emmett does not, but I have a couple.
You got one, Maddie?
I do.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I have a at KBond10, Kyle Bond. Who do you see getting more reps this week? K1, a healthy K1 Williams or Justin Gilbert?
I gotta believe that it'll probably be rather equally distributed with both of them. I'm gonna say up over 20 snaps, because Matt, you touched on it, because of the nature of with both, you know, the wide receivers that we're talking about with this football team, with that size that they bring to the party. You know, I got to think that that's going to be the case, that you're going to want Justin Gilbert on the football field. But listen, Kegwan Williams now, he's a coach's favorite. I mean, here's an undrafted free agent that's come in and worked his way onto the football field by doing what? Gaining trust and gaining the confidence of the coaching staff. So, you know, yeah, he's only 5'9", but I got to believe he'll be in there battling.
Sure. And we had a call earlier, and this is, again, I've got a tweet in response to a call earlier. Chevy from New Jersey called in earlier. You know, our Chevy who calls in almost daily to the show, which we appreciate. Talked about wanting to see like a killer instinct to Brian Hoyer of, you know, having this stare and, you know, not laughing and joking and all these other great things. And I wasn't on board with that because, again, this is a game, and you can see that players want to gravitate towards that personality, you know, who's having fun while also balling out on the football field. And our guy Drew at Rather Be Golfing, don't we all, said, contrary to Chevy, the team needs to go out and have fun, play loose, enjoy the home crowd, because there are a lot of road games ahead. And I think that's absolutely true. They have to thrive off the energy, ironically, in First Energy Stadium.
Yeah.
And play for these fans, play off of their energy, and vice versa, because they will be leaving, you know,
five of the last eight, after this one.
Exactly, and two
are
in
on
a
the
row,
road.
Two in a row, and then back home for one, right?
Only three more home games after this one.
Exactly. So enjoy it while you can. Yeah. And again, to have these guys put on a show for you at First Energy Stadium.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Now, we've got a lot more to do tomorrow. Matt will be here. I'll be here for the whole show tomorrow, as Nathan will join later on tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. But we need you, and we want you to make sure you're a part of it as well. A lot of fun today. A lot of things we can get into tomorrow. We will certainly break down a little bit more. I know, Matt, you and Nathan were taking a look at some of the Tampa Bay personnel. And I'm curious to see how the Browns are going to go about this defensively. We'll get into that tomorrow.
Me too. They have a great opportunity ahead of them, a team that they should beat, and we'll continue to dive into those Tampa Bay Bucs as the week goes on.
Yes, we will. All right, buddy, we'll see you tomorrow. For Matt Wilhelm, for Nathan Zagura, for Scott Petrak, for our producer Emmett Golden, coordinated producer Jason Gibbs, it's always a cast of thousands here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Michael Regei, reminding you, Golden Boys, Gold Hammer and Golden are coming up next, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR, Cleveland, Ohio. Have a great rest of your day, Browns Nation. We'll talk to you again at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Till then, from the Dog Bowl. So long, everybody.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.